Found it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Found it!
Podcast. Welcome to
Found It
Podcast, a podcast about geocaching up, geocaching down, and geocaching west. Today I'm back in the English language. This is the fourth time. Last time we spoke with the Norwegian podcast, Geopod. That was a very nice meeting. Yet again, it was the first time after 2 years. But today I actually have sort of a celebrity with me. Well, I'm just going to get into it. Welcome to the Aussie geocacher, C. Michel.
G'day, Patrick. How you going, mate?
I'm fine. Well, actually, what is your real name?
My real first name is Craig.
Craig, so, yeah.
My very first name is Craig, but I go by anything really. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Okay, so you get the call like, "Hey, see me. Do you want to come for dinner?"
Yeah, exactly. I get see me. I get see my. I get SMS. I get Craig. I get, you know, a lot of things. So I'll go for anything, to be honest with you.
Yes, it's very nice to have you on the show. I was referred to you by Terry Ann from Geocaching Down Under.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, why will be a little mystery until in a moment, yes.
Good old PCE, the purple cash eater herself. She's a lovely, lovely lady, and I did listen to that podcast, and it's very, very good.
Yeah, she was a great person to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, this first segment is about you. So we already know that your name is Craig, and your username must be C. Michel.
Yes, C. Michel, all one word, as in SEEMYSHELL. And I bet you want to know the reason for it, don't you?
Yeah, why did you choose the name?
Well, you already know my first name, and that is Craig. And my last name, it's French, and it's Michel, just like the girl's name. And so Craig Michel, that's my full name. So the letter C for Craig, and my last name is Michelle. So C. Michelle, C. Michelle. See, there you go. And I'll be honest with you, Patrick, as well. I've had that name, that C. Michelle nickname since I was a kid, you know, since I first started writing it at high school and everything else. And then when the internet began, I just used that as my handle from there on in. And so I've always been known as C. Michelle.
Yeah. Well, my nickname is Team Bionics on geocaching. It's basically a build up from my gamer name Bionic Pilot, and it was the same. Yes. I got it in almost grammar school, because then there was this gamer name generator. You can choose. You just pressed. Oh, the computer shows one for you. So I became Bionic Pilot, and now I've been that for 24 years.
Yeah. Wow. So, wow. It's funny how things happen like that. It's just random things that happen, and yeah, you go by those different names.
Yeah. Regarding years, when did you become a geocacher, and maybe how?
Yeah. So that's going back to 2014. It was in January of 2014, and at the time I was newly divorced, and being a divorced single father, you know, you always want to find things to do with kids, and at the same time, still trying to save the pennies, so to speak. And a good friend of mine, she contacted me and said, "Have you heard of this thing called geocaching?" And knowing me, because she knows I love tech and stuff like that too, I said, no. She said, well, download the app. This is what the app's called. Download it, and you should be one near you. So I downloaded the app, and lo and behold, Patrick, there was one in a park across the road from me. Well, I hung up the phone straight away. I ran to that park as quick as I could, and I found it. And I thought it was the best thing ever, you know, straight away. And I was instantly, absolutely instantly hooked. I found a trackable coin in there as well, and, you know, instantly hooked. I then went and did a few of the others. And then when I had my kids every weekend, then we'd go out on our push bikes and we'd ride around the area of the neighborhood, or then we'd start driving around the areas and grabbing or doing hikes and bushwalks. And, you know, it did become a really thing, but for the three of us, really, really nice. So, yeah, so that's how I started. That was back in 2014 now. So Australia Day, believe it or not, 2014.
Oh, so you were referred to it by a friend, basically.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And she'd heard about it through her university or her college that she was going to. And guess what? She knows about it, but she's still not a geocacher herself. So she gave me the information, but she's been with me a few times when I was meet her and see her, but apart from that, she doesn't do it herself and she hasn't got an account or anything. So she literally just handed the baton straight to me.
Okay. Well, I know you're a YouTuber. That's one thing, and you are having geocaching as a focus on the channel.
Mm-hmm.
That means you spend a lot of time geocaching.
Well, not as much as I'd like, to be honest with you. You know, life happens. You know, you still got to work. You still got to make some money here and there and whatnot as well. So, but for me, the time I spend, so I spend a lot of my vacation time geocaching. Like I'll go around, have a look before I go to a location. You know, I'll see what geocaches are around, which ones I want to get, you know. Obviously things like, you know, webcams are my favorite types because they're so rare. Then you've got your virtuals and those sort of things. They're my favorite types. And so I'll go for them first before I'll go for like a traditional or whatever. So, but yeah, I do mostly that sort of stuff. So when I travel, I do a lot of my geocaching when I travel. So
sort of casually, just whenever you have time. Or...
Pretty much, yeah. I used to do it daily. And my streak, I did have a streak. I started a streak a few years ago now. And when I was still living in Australia, and that streak got to 1,234 days, 1, 2, 3, 4. That was my streak. So I ended it on the 1,234th day. So I just wanted around like a good number to finish on. And that was it. So that's nearly 3 years straight every day of geocaching. I thought to myself, well, you know what, that's enough now. I'd had my fix, so to speak, and now I concentrate more on the video work and, you know, quality over quantity sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, over to the YouTube channel then. I know a little bird whispered in my ear that you are actually the founder of Geocaching Down Under.
Yes, yeah, because that's going back, I think, about 3 years ago now. I'm a big podcast fan, a geocaching podcast fan. So I'd been on podcasts like, you know, Podcacher in the US, geocaching podcast, Geocache Talk, you know, those sort of types. And I thought to myself, Australia or New Zealand even didn't really have a geocaching podcast. So I developed Geocaching Down Under 3 years ago, and I hosted it. I had a couple of co-hosts here and there, but I was the main host as such, you know, the co-hosts, they come and go. but then I couldn't go on any further because I was moving, you know, and in February this year, I'd moved from Australia to the US full time. And of course I had to let it go. But in doing so, I managed to find and talk to Terry, the Purple Cache Eater, and we've been chatting ever since. Even to this day, we talk every single day about the podcast, what's happening, who's coming up next. You know, she asked me for different ideas and helps, and I'm in the background as well, so I'm still part of Geocaching Down Under. It's like your baby sort of thing. So I'm still nursing it, but I've kind of handed it over to a foster parent. That sort of so yeah, that's Geocaching Down Under. It's a great podcast too.
Okay, what? When did you decide to start it? I know there wasn't that many other Australian geocaching podcasts, but did you get help from someone, or did someone push you to it, or you just woke up one day, I'm going to start a podcast?
Well, it's one of those things where I love researching. I love pushing myself. I love, I'm 46 years of age now, but I'll never stop learning. Daily I learn, and I want to do something different every single day. That's just what I do. And so I had the idea in my head for a good, I'm going to say 2 months, about the podcast, at which point in time I was researching, the best microphone to use, how to actually do a podcast, the types of podcasts that I want to do. I was listening to various types, not just geocaching, but I was listening to various types from true crime and all that sort of thing to try and get a flow together, get some sort of something different compared to the normal geocaching podcasts. So I did a lot of research and everything from there in the lead up to it. And then I've gone, okay, I've got to start this. And that's when I started the podcast. I started by myself in the beginning. And then lasted for about 4 or 5 months before I managed to get a co-host on board for a little while as well. So, and then she left about a year after that, and then I was by myself until I finished it up from there.
Okay. How did you get the topics to talk about in the podcast? Did you just make them up, or?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, so in Australia, there's very much a regimented, because I'm not sure what it's like over in Europe. I know what it's like here when it comes to mega events. In Australia, mega events are few and far between. And I'm talking maybe two, the one stage there, we had 3 megas in 1 year in the whole of Australia. Now, Australia's the same size geographically as the US, the mainland US. So it's, 3 megas over that distance, it's not that much, to be honest with you. And so what I was trying to do is I was trying to promote megas, in Australia. I was trying to promote local events. So I'd actually get the people from the mega event hosting as my co-host or my special guest at the time. So I knew which months, and I was only doing once a month as well. The podcast was only once a month. It wasn't every single week, it was once a month. So I'd be doing that. And if I wasn't doing that, then I'd do seasonally. So I do winter geocaching in Australia, or summer geocaching in Australia. Yeah. Spring, that sort of thing. Yeah. Watch out for snakes, all that sort of stuff. I did some a first aid, snake bite first aid podcast, all those things that can happen in Australia. That's what I kind of did. And I enveloped as well New Zealand in that. So geocaching down under, not just Australia, but it was for New Zealand. So I was also promoting the 1 or 2 megas New Zealand had also. So I was trying to do that. So that's how I got my topics as such, mostly through the megas and trying to get people together, get people talking about geocaching, going and meeting up at mega events and other events in the area and, do it that way.
So in the beginning, you did the audio podcasts only the first years?
Yeah, no, I was always doing both. I did video and audio. So I was doing a live podcast every single month, was live, recorded live and live on YouTube. And so people would actually chat in the chat room, and that would help me actually as a host. Because all of a sudden, these people live are actually asking good questions that I hadn't even thought of, of my guests. And so, they'd ask a question. I go, such and such in the chat room says blah, blah, blah. And then I'd ask the guest and they'd answer. And that made for good feedback to and from. So I'd never actually done just an audio podcast. It was always both. I then download the audio after that, the recorded audio, and then put that across to the podcast platforms.
All right. Well, I know now, after you left geocaching down under and down under Australia, that means you left for New Jersey, where you are now. And at that time, you also started a YouTube channel with not geocaching down under, but more on a personal level.
Yeah. So my YouTube channel that I'd started my YouTube channel going back before geocaching. My YouTube channel, The Aussie Geocacher Save My Shell, was a channel that I developed years and years ago when I was actually into kayak fishing, So I've got I've still got those videos on there. And I'll be honest with you, Patrick, one of those kayak videos is still, to this day, my most watched video on my entire channel. Kayak fishing, of all things. So I started back then. And what happened was when I started geocaching with my children, they were into the video. So they were watching Joshua, the geocaching vlogger. They were watching GeoPat92. And they said, Dad, can we do something like this? And, and straight away, they know what I'm like with my videos and stuff. I'm like, yes, we sure can. And so we started doing those sort of things. Now, the things that I do to this day, they started, my kids started. So things like, you know, my tagline at the end when I go, see my shell over and out, I always say that same thing. They started that. I didn't start that. They actually started that, you know, because I said to them, we have to do an outro sort of thing. I told them the whole thing that they needed to do, but then they developed it. And of course, they become teenagers. They're too cool for any videos. They're too cool for geocaching anymore. So dad's left with the with this video stream. And I thought, oh, I'll keep going with it. And so that's how it went from there. So I just kept going with the actual geocaching podcast. But what you're referring to, Patrick, is when I came over to New Jersey, I've started another geocaching channel. So I'm now running two geocaching channels. My geocaching channel, and also a more personal one, which is talking about like an Australian or an Aussie in America. And that's what it's called, an Aussie in America, where I talk about the different experiences from a personal point of view. In other words, things like how to get a visa to come to America. You know, once you get here, what's the next process? The biometrics, for instance, that's my one of my recent videos. I then do funny things in terms of the differences between what's strange to me in America from coming from an Australian, you know, things, just random things like obviously driving on the wrong side of the road, or even down to the toilets here are strange, or the light switches are strange, you know, like little things like that, that people wouldn't realize, but they are very, very strange to someone brand new to the country.
How to measure heat.
Oh, yeah, that's don't forget, don't talk to me about the metric system as opposed to this imperial stuff that they have here. It's incredible difference. You know, I don't know how many inches in a feet and then feet in a yard and yard in a mile. Just give me the metric system. I know that perfectly, like everyone else would normally know that easily. But anyway.
Yeah, they have these ounces and cups and...
I know. Even to the point where I say, oh, can I just get a... Like, why don't you just say small, medium, large? No, they say, you know, 14-ounce, 16-ounce and 22-ounce. I'm like, just say small, medium, large. But anyway.
Yeah. How often do you release videos on your YouTube channels?
So... Since I've been here now, I've started to get deeper and deeper into video work, videography, both because I'm coming from an acting point of view as well. So in Australia, I was actually a police officer, but I had an acting gig on the side as well. So I do some acting work in Australia. So I brought that here to do a lot of acting work. And I've done a few bits and pieces here and there. Technically, I can't work at the moment, so it's been volunteer work. So I've done a couple of acting jobs here, but I've started to really enjoy behind the camera work as well. And so now I'm actually looking at starting up my own business here in videography. And so that's the sort of style I do, and including my video editing. So you'll find if anyone watches, like say Joshua, the geocaching vlogger, for instance, I do a lot of his editing right now as we speak. I'm actually doing one, like I was doing one before we started talking today, for instance. So one of his new videos is coming out shortly. So I do a lot of editing work for other people, video editing, and I'm doing it for myself. So I'm keeping myself very busy. So in answer to your question, it used to be once a week for geocaching videos. It's coming, pushing out now to once every, whenever I can, which is normally once every 2 weeks at the moment. and then the videos on the personal level, they're mostly dictated by what happens in the visa processing system. So my biometrics one, for instance, was 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago now. And so I've only done one video in that 8 weeks, you know what I mean, on that particular channel. So I'm not really pushing myself to an exact timeline on my channel. I do it how I feel in terms of, you know, I don't want it to become work. I want it to always be fun for me. You know, I want my work to be fun. So I never have to work a day in my life. That's what they say.
There's been a debate in Sweden here, how being an influencer or YouTuber, if it is a work or not. Because just posting videos and social media and becoming an influencer, it steals a lot of your personal time as well.
Oh, put it this way. See, I would never class myself as an influencer, as I say, because I'm not doing it for that purpose. I'm doing it because I want to document what's happening in my life. That's all I do. I do it for my own enjoyment, you know. I like being both in front and behind the camera, you know. I'm not one to sort of, you know, always be the head of this or the head of that. No, I want to be behind the camera. I want to see how things work. you know, and that's what I've been doing recently since I've been here as well, is a lot of study on filmmaking. So, well, obviously, the GIF 2021, the GIF reel just went live only like a couple of hours ago to you and I now. Obviously, not to everyone else who's listening to this, but I got a finalist video in my in the GIF reel, which is really cool. Things like that, and that's all because of my filmmaking that I've been studying since I've been here in New Jersey. The different angles, the different styles, the different effects that you can do, let alone the different styles of editing that I've started to come across. So.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It is hard work. It's not just influencer, it's a hard work. I'm no Kardashian, put it that way.
No. I know the feeling. What about your viewers?
I mean, look, I get a lot of obviously you get a lot of positive feedback from the geocaching community. I find if they don't like you, they just don't talk to you, or they don't comment, or they don't watch, you know, which is actually a good thing. You know, let's be honest, there's no negativity, that means, on my channels. So you won't really see, and even on other geocaching video channels as well, you won't see that much negativity. You won't say, you know, oh, you didn't sign the logbook correctly, or oh, you didn't find that yourself. Oh, you're spoiling it, you know, for everyone else, you know. That was what I got initially. I got a lot of haters about spoiling of geocaches. But I always come back and say, don't watch my videos. Just don't watch them. Click ignore. You don't have to watch. I don't, with my videos and stuff, I never push it on any social media. I push it on my own social media. So I'm on Facebook, for instance. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, even on TikTok now as well. So I'll do my stuff on my platforms. If people want to join up and watch it, they can. If they don't, they don't. You know what I mean? So I find doing it that way, you're not getting any negativity from any of the crowd. Like I'm going to say, I'm probably get heat here, but the older generation geocachers, because they're the ones that still use their GPS only. I'm never going to use a smartphone. You know, those sort of ones, they don't believe in technology or change to a certain degree. And they think that videos ruin the hobby of geocaching.
Yeah, because I watched quite a lot of your videos now, and I get my inspiration to create my own caches from other people's caches.
Exactly.
And also, we had a debate about this before we published a video in our channel. We got some, you're spoiling the hides, and all yeah. Right. So some people even wrote to me privately on Facebook Messenger, angry about it. But the thing is, we told about the area, which is like 30 kilometers in a circle, and we didn't show the GC codes, we didn't show the coordinates.
Nope.
We only showed the beauty of the caches we found. I mean, a trail of 20 gadget caches in a row, mm-hmm. That was it was beauty.
Exactly, and exactly what you said, we do it to inspire other people. We don't want to hide people to hide pill bottles or mint tins, you know, under guardrails or lamppost skirts and stuff like that. We're sick of that. You know, we want quality over quantity. And so if we can give inspiration by showing good quality hides, then that's what we do. And as you said, we don't give away GC codes. We don't give away locations. When I say, where am I? I'm in New Jersey. It's a big state, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a small thing. Even to the point, this is a quick, funny story. I got a phone a friend. This is a couple of years ago now. I got a phone a friend from a good friend of mine, and he said, "Craig, I'm at a cache location now." It was only a nano, right? So a simple nano on a skirt thing. And he goes, "I can't find it anywhere. Where is it?" And I said to him, I said, "Oh, I remember. I did a video of that one." He goes, "Did you?" I said, "I did." And I did a live. It was a Periscope. Remember when Periscope was around? I did a live Periscope of that one. Yeah, that Periscope app. So I did live. So I went through the Periscope app. Anyway, and I told him exactly where it was, and he found it. And I said to him afterwards, I go, "By the way, you were watching live my Periscope app. So there you go. You can't say that I actually spoiled geocaches because you were watching live and you still can't find it today by yourself. See, so there you go. You can't say I'm a spoiler."
No.
Yeah.
Well, that was a bit about your content, but back to your personal experiences. What would you say is your best experience?
Well, I'm going to have to say this because it's been my most life-changing experience. And that is, if you don't know the story, because I've said it on a few different podcasts, and that is how I actually became here in New Jersey, you know, as opposed to Australia. Like I had full-time police officer in Australia. And it was three years ago, when the Giga was here in America. There was a Giga in Cincinnati, the first Giga in America ever. And we'd heard about it in Australia, the first Giga in America, the whole lot. And I thought to myself, I'm going to go over there for this Giga. I'm going to save up some money and I'm going to go over there. Now, I'm coming all the way from Australia to America. I'm not going to go over there, fly into Cincinnati and then fly out the next week. You know what I mean? I'm going to do a trip. And so I did. I did a 30-day tour from the East Coast, New York City, straight away across the middle, including the Giga, up to Seattle. And so I did, obviously, HQ and everything there as well. Went into, dipped into Canada just to get Canada because I thought I'm never going to be back here again. And then flew out of LA after that via Hawaii. So I did 24 states in 30 days of America, thinking to myself, I'm never going to be back here again, right? So this is a trip of a lifetime. Unbeknownst to me, the day after the Giga, I was in a little parking lot in Indiana, and it was no one else around, no one there at all, just myself. And I found a cache. You know, it was a pretty cool cache. It was like a fake dome camera cache. And I thought it was pretty cool. So I did a live Periscope of me finding this cache. And as I was doing that, this woman turns up in a car, and I thought, oh, she has to be a geocacher. And sure enough, she was. She gets out of the car, beautiful blonde hair in the sunlight, you know, body of a goddess, you know, the lot. And I looked and went, oof, like she really did take my breath away. I introduced to her live on video, introduced her that we found the cache together. I then left her signing the logbook, said goodbye to her, and off I went. 3 days later, she'd found me on Instagram and said, oh, you're the Australian that I met. And I went, ah, yeah. So then, of course, I'm strolling through the Instagram saying, you know, she's got to have a boyfriend or a husband or something. By this time, I'm across the other side of America and then flying back to Australia. Well, 12 months after that, we still stayed in contact randomly, like on Instagram, but it wasn't much. And then she messaged me out of the blue and said, you know, I'm thinking about coming over to Australia with my friends. If I give you like a tour, like an itinerary, do you think, let me know if it's doable? I went, yeah, no worries. So she gave me the itinerary. It definitely was not doable. The Americans don't realize how big Australia is. They think it's just like, you know, very, very small, but it's not. So I gave her a different itinerary, and she's like, you know, this is really good, you know. And then she's like, but why are we jutting in there? Like, what's in there? We're on the map. I go, well, that's where I live. And she says, are you putting yourself in my itinerary? I said, yes, I am. And we started chatting on a daily basis. And then all of a sudden now I'm, you know, what's been two and a half years later, I'm moved to New Jersey and now married. So we got married this year. So there we go. It's so that's probably my best experience whilst geocaching, that is finding a wife. Across the other side of the world. There you go.
Okay. It's hard to top that, actually. But just to go in the other way, what is your worst experience? Not finding a wife.
Yeah. Finding some ex-girlfriends, I think. No, no.
Oh, yeah.
Can't say that. I won't say what's... I don't really have a worst experience, but I will say this. It was an experience that I had whilst geocaching, So this is back when, as I said before, like I was divorced, you know, single father. I was going through a lot of problems. I was dark. I was down. You know, I was seeing a psychologist. I was going through a lot of pain, a lot of agony, and a lot of heartbreak. And there was one time there, I remember I dropped my kids off to their mama's house. And I was driving back home and I was just a mess, an absolute mess. I was in tears I don't even know why, like something was really upsetting me. And on the way home, I remember that there was a multi-cache through this highway area in Australia. And I'd always been wanting to get it. So I thought, you know what, I've got time. I'm going to stop for this multi-cache. So I stopped, tears running down my face, the whole lot. I get my notepad out, my pen and my phone, and then I start this multi. Well, by the time I finished this multi, like I had to go through mud. I had to go through like this swamp river. But you know what, Patrick? It washed away all that worry. It washed away all that pain, all that time, the emotion I was going through, because all I started focusing upon was finding the cache. And so all my other thought processes were out the window. And I think to myself, you know what? From a personal experience point of view, I still say to this day, that's probably my turning point and how geocaching really can save someone, you know, because you take your mind off whatever you're thinking about and you focus solely on finding a bit of plastic in the woods or the bush. And it's funnily enough, this people say it, people laugh, but it's so true. And that's what we're all addicted to, mate. So that's what I love most about this game, I think.
Oh, I'm not laughing about that. I actually think that is very inspiring, because we deal with a lot of mental health issues in the world today due to the coronavirus, and especially during the pandemic, people, if you were depressed, you got even more depressed because you have to shut yourself out from other people and the social distancing, like in Australia and US, you had to lock down all of it. Yeah. You were stuck at home with your partner only, because I wouldn't be sad to be with my partner only, but I would also be sad because I couldn't have any connection with my friends. And there is a difference. We want to see people in the eyes, maybe even touch each other. It took us 2020 to realize that we are actually social beings.
Yes, absolutely.
And absolutely. It was a very inspiring story you told about your walkabout, basically, during that multicache. I'll keep that with me. You've been to quite a lot of events also.
Yes, I do love events. I'm a social butterfly, to be honest with you.
Do you have a good memory?
So probably one of my favorite memories is when, as I said before, I was traveling across America. When I was traveling across, I hosted 6 events myself. I knew which area I was going to be in. And so I was hosting these events to meet people, you know, because I'm a social person. I was meeting people, but I was also meeting people that reached out to me knowing that I was coming across. So people are saying, oh, are you going to come to my area? You know, this, that, and the other. And I still remember there was one couple, and I'm good friends with them still to this day now here. And they drove out of state and they spent the night just so they can come to my event to meet me, you know. And I thought to myself, you know, that's beautiful, that sort of thing. But what I did at all these events was I had a jar of Vegemite. And I had a loaf of bread. And so everyone who came to my event had to try Vegemite. And the look on their faces when they tried Vegemite, and for an American, it's their faces, they do not like it because there's no sugar in it. It's very salty, not sugary. And Americans are addicted to sugar. So so they didn't like this Vegemite at all. But yeah, I think to me that was one of my fun things I did, was having the Vegemite, you know, at every single event of mine all the way across the US.
Okay, I never heard of Vegemite. Can you tell me what it is? I'm in Scandinavia, on the other side of the world.
Vegemite's an Australian staple. If you want to know more about Vegemite, go to my YouTube channel, in Aussie in America, where I show you how to eat Vegemite. Vegemite is a yeast extract spread, so it's like peanut butter. You know, it's a spread for bread. But it's a yeast extract, so it's very salty. It's dark in color. It kind of looks a little bit like chocolate, but it does not, I repeat, it does not taste like chocolate. So don't even think that. It's very deceiving. So you've got to do it very thin, spread across some bread. And as an Australian, we grow up on Vegemite. And, you know, it's a staple for us. But it's amazing to the rest of the world. People always ask me, you know, about Vegemite. Yeah. Oh, you're from Australia. You eat Vegemite? Oh, yes, I do. Ugh, that stuff is terrible.
Okay. Well, that, I'll guess that would be the first thing I taste whenever I come to Australia then.
Absolutely. You got to try Vegemite, mate.
During the all the events you've been to, do you have something funny or wacky or weird that you remember?
I suppose one of my other things that sticks out in with an event of mine was I was actually part of a committee, and we hosted a mega event in Australia, and it was a magnificent mega event. Like, it was probably, I'm going to say, we got a great feedback from this particular mega event, and I was the host, the MC. Every night we had at the mega event, because we had it over a weekend, and so all three nights we had me on stage talking. We had different things, but one of the things we had on stage was a Geocacher's Got Talent. So performance from everyone, and people used to, they put in their things, you know, and we had anyone from magicians to dancers to musicians come up as well. And some of those things. So that for me and everyone, the whole people, everyone there loved it. They loved it. Geocacher's Got Talent, you know, GOT. That was what it was called, Geocacher's Got Talent. And it was, yeah. And for me, hosting that event was absolutely fantastic. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Oh, so maybe you were the Australian Simon Cowell, maybe.
Oh, yeah. You could say that. You absolutely could say that.
I do think you have already answered this question, but what is your dream location to go geocaching?
Well, no, I haven't actually answered this question yet. My dream location, and this is all thanks to Joshua, the geocaching vlogger, he's shown us Germany. Germany for me, and he's shown us the different types of caches that are there, the high quality of geocaching that's throughout Germany. For me personally, Germany would be a dream location just for the pure purpose of going geocaching in Germany. I would love that.
Germany is a big country, actually.
Yeah, what's, I can't think of his name now. The Josh's, he used to Josh went there a couple of times, I think, and has actually been out with, so there's one creator in Germany, and he's got a business that literally is creating geocaches. So he goes around to other businesses and promotes them through geocaching. He gets around it by putting a geocache in or just outside their particular business. And the geocache he puts in is always a gadget cache style, and it's always related to the business, you know. So, like, he'll go to a, I think it was a winery. One of them is a winery. And to open the cache, you have to, COVID, I know, but you have to blow into the cache container like a breathalyzer, and you have to be above a certain alcohol limit in order for the cache to open.
So you had to go and get drunk before you could do that.
Yes.
Oh my.
Well, either that or you just put swing some in your mouth and then blow it straight away. The alcohol goes straight through. So
what an excuse.
You know, yeah. I have to drink this alcohol because I need to open this cache. Like, that's a great excuse.
Oh, poor me.
I have to finish this bottle of red wine.
All right, Craig, I am so happy that you were willing to join us on Found It podcast this week. And I wish you all the best for the future geocaching adventures. And hopefully you will visit Germany one day.
Yes. Another. And of course, you know, other areas of Europe as well, including your little hometown up there as well. So. Thank you so much for having me, Patrick. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And if you, as a listener, would like to contact me, contact us, or just give us some general feedback, this is how you can contact us.
Found It podcast is provided to you by Patrick Norén and Patricia Lehmann. Please visit founditpodcast.se to find out how you can contact us, where you can listen to us, and how you can support us. Thank you for listening.
See my shell. I am going to let you to promote your channels and your social media, and just let our community know where to find you.
Oh, I can be found on any social media pages, Patrick, anything from, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok as well. So anywhere, just look up The Aussie Geocacher, See My Shell, SEEMYSHELL, and you'll see all my content there online, and YouTube as well. YouTube's probably one of my favorites at the moment. So any social media, and I can be reach out as well and ask any questions. So I have on my YouTube channel, I actually have a lot of tutorial style videos that I did during the coronavirus. And so I get a lot of questions from beginner geocachers who are reaching out, looking and researching about geocaching, which I love, you know. So if anyone wants to reach out to me, they can reach out on any of my social media apps as well.
We'll do that. And you will also find Craig's social media links in the description for this episode. That's it for today, and you've been listening to Found It Podcast with me, Patrick.
And me, See My Shell, the Aussie Geocacher. And guess what, Patrick? I'm going to be over and out.
Goodbye to you.
Found It
Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Found it.